In today's solo episode, I'm going to answer a question on anti-racism or allyship from our Inclusion First community. Now, these episodes are really made to get you the information that you need so that you can go and make greater change in the world. These are real questions from real people. And my goal here is to break down the question, give some answers and some insights that you can hopefully put to use as you are out there navigating your life, navigating opportunities for anti-racism, for allyship, and to really bring more inclusion into the spaces that you exist in. So here we go. Okay, Aido. So every episode, we like to answer a community question. And this time, the community question is, when I see or hear something that is racist, I'm always worried about using the R word for fear that will put people on the defensive. Any advice on how I can call out racism in a way that's honest but won't make people defensive? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's important to try and avoid labels. You know, I think labels are overused, and I think that sometimes they result from lazy thinking. And it's so easy to slap a label on something, and immediately when that label gets used, and people stop thinking and communicating and just start trying to defend their position.
Sure.
So I think empathy is the key word, right? And if you can cultivate a sense of empathy in any conversation that you have for somebody with a different perspective, I think that's the way to educate. Now, of course, not everyone wants to be educated. Not everyone wants to be open to change. You're gonna run into that. But where there is a well-intentioned person who may have a misunderstanding, or they may have a bias that they're not aware of, or they maybe have a behavior that is having an impact that maybe they don't realize that it's having that impact, I think it's important to try different ways to get that person to empathize with a different perspective. And that's a process. It's not going to happen in one conversation. But, you know, where there's a willing participant on both ends of that conversation, I think a lot of progress can be made. That's one thing I'll say. And then the other thing I'll say is, I think it's important not to minimize this work into a series of tropes.
Say more.
And I do recall at a past employer, I won't say which, where we went really, really deep into kind of some, I think, well-intentioned anti-racism work, but it ended up feeling like shaming, you know, certain individuals, right? It was like, you guys should be ashamed at what you did for 300 years. And it was that for 3 hours.
Oh gosh.
And I feel like it just has the opposite effect.
Absolutely.
When you go, so I think it's not about making people feel comfortable. People should feel uncomfortable. But I think it's important that when we make these attempts, I think that we have to really, really think through what are the outcomes that we're trying to get, right? And the outcome is really in behaviors, right? We want people to be treated a certain way. We want people to feel a certain way. And so, you know, I think for any allies that want to call out racism, particularly when I'm not in the room or you're not in the room, I think it's important to speak clearly and speak boldly, but you don't necessarily have to do it by like labeling somebody this. You can ask a question. How would that be received if someone who doesn't look like you was in the room? And that will pause somebody in their seat, you know, and if they don't automatically get defensive, you know, I think it will force them to think about what they said or what they did from a different perspective. And I think you do that enough, I think people start to pick up on it.
I love that. The disarming with the question. And so it's not an accusation. It's not a label. I don't have to defend myself. You actually made me think, because the human brain, if you ask me a question, my first instinct is to answer it, right? Versus like pushing back on a statement that you might say to me instead. I think that's super powerful and a really great takeaway for sure for talking with allies. And I also love what you said about, you know, is the person a willing participant in this exchange?
Because maybe they did something unintentional, or maybe they're a person who, it doesn't matter what anyone says, they're not going to be any different. How can you take that pause to like assess a bit of the situation before you even jump in? Because depending upon the disposition of the person, do you really want to invest this emotional labor and potential confrontation if it's not going to go anywhere anyways? If you know the person, if you have a feeling about it being, you know, potentially an opening, then taking that and proceeding with Karen. And I also appreciate what you said about, you know, people are going to be uncomfortable. It's not about making them super comfortable, because it's an uncomfortable topic and you're calling someone out to call them in, right? But really focusing on that calling in, that consideration, and that you can draw out of them. How would someone receive this? What do you mean by that joke? I don't quite understand. Can you explain it to me? A lot of times when people are asked to repeat or to consider more deeply, they sometimes will backtrack on their own. You won't even have to like say anything else, but they're like, I'm not about to say that again now that I heard it.
Yeah, right. And then, I don't want to say it again. Right.
Yeah. So sometimes that happens, which is awesome. And other times maybe more of a conversation is needed. And it's not going to happen all at once. But you know, you're building that bridge. You're offering that. Even if it doesn't feel like it, it is an olive branch of sorts, because people, especially, you know, our white allies, like some people feel burned. They're like, I tried to talk about this and I got all this backlash and hate back. And you know what? Sometimes that's going to happen. And that's part of the discomfort in navigating through that. Maybe the person you were talking to, you didn't pause and see, is this going to be well received at this time? Because it's just not always the time and place to have these kind of conversations. But the key is, just because you got burned once doesn't mean that you stop. You don't give up. Like, I tried, I can never bring up racism again in my life. Like, that's crazy, right? So how do we learn from that experience when it doesn't go the way that we want, and tweak something so that when we try again, we have a little bit more success?
No, I think you said it well, and you answered the question better than I did, Kara.
No, I did. I love your answer.
No, but I really am glad that you're reaching out to a broad audience. I think it's important to build that level of understanding. I do participate in a Facebook group that has kind of a diverse audience talking about, you know, awakening this dialogue. And I think I want to tell you more about that group. I haven't had a chance to be as consistent as I want to in participating in, but the spirit of it is exactly what you said, right? Let's all be a little uncomfortable. Let's challenge some of these norms that have been handed down for generations, you know, and let's reconsider what's appropriate, right? Let's reconsider what is decent, right? Let's redefine that for ourselves. And I think it takes all parties to kind of be part of that conversation. You know, it's not a one directional conversation.
I love it. Thank you so much, Aido.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Inclusion First podcast. We are always collecting and answering your most important questions on anti-racism. So if there's something on your mind, head on over to theinclusionfirstproject.org and click on Ask a Question. We would love to get your like, your share, your follow, and especially your review wherever you find us. Thank you again so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.